in your pew this evening. I ask you to complete that. You can leave it in the pew there, fill out the information they ask for, and then you can either also place it in the, there's baskets in the hallway for the friendship sheet. So on the very bottom of the sheet, you'll notice there are some ways to get involved. For example, like being a greeter on Sunday mornings now that we're meeting back in person. That is a need, and we would like to know those who are interested in doing that and volunteering as a way to help us to identify those interested. And so please let us know that. Today I begin a few sermons on the idea of the benefits of this hour we enjoy on Sunday. And today we enjoy the gift, the wonder, in fact, of a quieted soul is one of the things we'll consider today. Next week, we will recognize our high school graduates and those who graduated from further in education as well, and the message will be on the wonder of encouraged hearts. But today, the wonder of a quieted soul. You'll see there are two scripture readings, selected verses from Psalm 46, and then from the New Testament, Matthew 6. And so let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word, first from the 46th Psalm, beginning at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. And then verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then turning to the New Testament in the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, I begin reading from a selection of Jesus' teachings at verse 25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And then verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries on its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, through this hour on Sunday, help us to understand that modern miracles can take place when people enter churches to worship God and experience your transcendence. And Lord, we pray for the end of this pandemic, that it may come soon, the end. For we know there are many people who have suffered by not having the opportunity to be connected to you in a meaningful way in a very long time. And so we pray for them and all those who gather in this hour, wherever they may be, to worship you. In Christ's name, amen. I begin by stating some things that we believe about worship. The hour of worship on Sunday is a big deal to God. It's a big deal to you and to me. It's a big deal to God, which is why it is listed in the commandments that God gave his people to worship God, to worship him. The act of worship is recorded by people all through the Old and New Testaments. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. And thus the importance of this hour of worship in which we gather both through live streaming and in person. We all have many activities as individuals that we participate in. Our time is meaningful. There are also many church activities other than worship that we believe are important as well. But in this 60-minute service, we have the magnificent opportunity to receive an enormous gift, the gift of slowing down, the gift of being a receptacle for God's Spirit, the gift of encountering the very presence of God, and even wrestling with some of life's deep issues. During this hour, people, wherever they are, young and old, church members and newcomers, have the opportunity to draw closer to God, who is our Heavenly Father. As your pastor, I can tell you, as I help with other staff to plan and lead worship services like today, I regularly receive the gift, the blessing of a quieted soul. I continually discover that just a brief moment, a brief time experiencing the transcendence of God in this hour, helps me to come out of church every Sunday as a changed person, at least a little bit, sometimes a great bit. But I believe with all my heart and mind that this can happen for you as well through the hour on Sunday. Which is why one of the wonders I want us to consider today is the gift that God gives us in this hour of a quieted soul, a quieted spirit. You know as well as I do, all week long we are bombarded with noise and information. The technology explosion has been immense. Cell phones, email, voicemail. I think I answer the voicemail on 3 or 4 different phones. And it has created a culture for all of us where people are literally never out of reach. We're not even out of reach of fraud telephone calls and emails. They happen all the time. I have yet to renew that warranty on my car. They've asked me about it 12 times this year. I've not had that car in 20 years. But add to this the relentless barrage of radio in our homes and cars, the internet, Netflix, Amazon, television, magazines, Zoom, and you realize that the pace of our lives, even coming out of this pandemic, is escalating. We need to make some priorities as we do so and save time. Indeed, prioritize this hour on Sunday. I would suggest to you that most people would consider the gift of a quieted soul well worth any time spent in church. And yes, of course, there are those people, sometimes at least, that we would like to build a fire under to get them moving. You may know some of them. But we need a balance. The point is, there is another side of life other than just always doing, doing, and doing, and getting started with life again now. And if we are to have that balance, then we need as part of life the act of receiving. Because we are, our bodies, they are receptacles. They are like, we're told in Scripture, like clay pots. We will always be trying to fill them with something, and I'm suggesting this morning the most important thing that you fill it with first is an hour with God on Sunday. That gift of a quieted soul, it comes from reflection and quiet moments with God. Both here, it can happen on the beach, it can happen in the mountains. But an intentional time with a holy other. As human beings, we require times of prayer, of reflection, because we often face situations in life where we cannot do anything. And there are those times also we have just simply run ourselves down to a frazzle, and we need to be still. We are receptacles. We need this hour that refreshes, this hour that empowers us for living. And there are also intervals, we all know this, rhythms in life where we need to take a day off or a time off or a vacation. There are times I would strongly suggest to you when we take the Sunday, the Sabbath, and make it a real Sabbath day, make it a holy day, different than any other day, in which we have different habits and different practices from the other 6 days of the week. And so this is a time for us in this hour to connect with God and to reaffirm that when we have done everything that we can do, when we have made every list that we can make, we need to come and stop and remember to rely upon God. Do you know, by the way, do you know what Abraham Lincoln's favorite verse was in the Bible? I'll tell you in just a moment. Lincoln is one of my favorite presidents, and he was known as a great doer, a man of action, a man of few words, but a man of action. But his favorite verse came from the time when the children of Israel, the people of Israel, were escaping from Egypt. They had gone out from Egypt and they faced a barrier, the Red Sea. And behind them came the horsemen and the chariots of Egypt. And they were trapped. And Lincoln's favorite verse came from this very scene as Moses parted that sea and cried out to the people of Israel, "Stand still and see the mighty acts of God." His favorite verse. In other words, stand still and let God do what you cannot do for yourself. That got Lincoln through some grim and tragic moments in his life. Well, if we are to find the wonder of a quieted soul, there are some things that we can do, some things that will support that. Let me suggest a few. First, you can discover this wonder of a quieted soul by affirming, first of all, that you are loved by God unconditionally. One author has said it this way, that many people believe that Jesus came to earth and died in order to persuade God that we are worthy to be loved. And that's not how it works. That's simply not so. Jesus, the Bible reveals to us, came to earth, became incarnate in the flesh to persuade us that God already loves us unconditionally. You know that story of the prodigal son? Tell that story a different way and bells go off and you go, "That's not right." So the son went off. He spent his money unwisely. Listen for the bells to go off. The son came home and the father said to the son, "You stink like a pig. You are not welcome in this home. Go away and never come back." That's not what happens in the story. And when you tell it in inverse, when you tell it the other way, the good news comes and it rings like bells too. "Kill the fatted calf. My son who was lost is found." God's love was unconditional. And by accepting this fact, all your anxiety can be taken out of life. You do not need to do things out of guilt. You do not need to do things to earn God's love sometime in the future. No, whatever you do in service to God and others is done then when you understand the unconditional love of God. It's done out of gratitude for what God has already done for you and secured for you because God loves you unconditionally. So claim God's unconditional love in this hour on Sunday if you want to experience the wonder of a quieted soul. And then secondly, to discover the wonder of that quieted soul, just continue as we come out of this paralyzing pandemic. Continue just to take one day at a time, one step at a time. You can do nothing else other than fret and worry that you should be doing more. We worry too much about what we have to do tomorrow. We worry so much about what needs to happen the week after that as we restart doing something that we did before the pandemic hit. Oh, Pastor, we need to get busy. And it is a great burden if you or I have to carry that all alone, and we do not. We take it one day at a time, step by step, with God beside us. We can, if not careful, we can fall under the illusion that everything and everybody needs to just hurry up. So everything is like it was before. The great Egyptian and Roman empires, they were not built in a day, right? It will take time. It will take patience for even for us as a church to get back to what will be a new normal. As I have said to my family, I've said it to our church staff, and I've said it to our session, I believe it will be more painful. I believe it will be more difficult. It will be a struggle to emerge from this pandemic, more so than it was to go in it. Going in it, we had no choice. We literally could do nothing. I remember driving up and down US 19 to come to the office, and it was scarily absent of cars in those first days. You may have noticed that. People were afraid to go anywhere. Everything had come to a halt. And now we reemerge one day at a time. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's trouble is enough for today. Isn't that so true? It's so true. You know, when someone presses you about when you may start doing something that you did in the past, but you haven't done it yet, perhaps I could suggest that you say to them, you know, I don't know when I'll do that again. I don't know when that will happen. But here's what I do know. I know that with God's help and a little help from a few friends, I can manage the next 24 hours. One day at a time. Anxious doing and anxious worrying and fretting and imagining that people are doing nothing is not healthy. It can take the juices and the excitement, the enjoyment out of life. Concentrate on today. Live one day with God at a time. Thirdly, to enjoy the gift of a quieted soul, remember Psalm 46. Say it to yourself once a day at least. It records God's voice saying, "Be still and know that I am God." The deep things in life often come through times of reflection and times of quiet. And it has been suggested here that the psalmist is not trying to be polite when the psalmist records the voice of God. If you read this passage again and again, I get the notion that it's saying, be quiet, shut up, sit down, be calm, listen to what I am saying to you, be still. That's the message I get from this passage. Fourthly, if we are to live this life with wonder of a quieted soul, perhaps it will be helpful for us to trust God with the future. Trust God with the future. Will you do that? Will you just trust God with the future again? The last pandemic was about 100 years ago. Just trust God with your future. God is trustworthy because God is worthy of our trust. And you can see that again and again in the scriptures. I want to say to you, I am not counseling you this morning not to plan and not to make lists. I said that this morning, and one mother, her two teenagers and her husband, they all looked to her quickly and said, "That's you making lists, mother." I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying don't make lists. But planning is not our problem. It's certainly not a Presbyterian's problem. And so hear me lovingly when I say this to you this morning. The problem is that we so often in our planning overshoot the mark and expect too much. Trying to do things perfectly, I have found in life and in ministry, if we try to do things perfectly, it can become the enemy of the good that we are already doing. We need to trust that God's timing is always perfect. God, who helped us in the past, is with us in the present and is trustworthy for the future. I want to close this morning with a few comments to help you see how important this is by, again, telling something in verse. And what I mean by that, I could tell you this morning how to be rich by telling you, first of all, how to be poor. And so I tell you not how to keep serenity and have the power, the wonder of a quieted soul, but how to get rid of it, if that is your choice. It's not hard to do. I believe you can do it if you try. I believe in you. But here are some ways to lose that wonder of a quieted soul. To do so, first and most importantly, always dwell on the opinions of others. Did you know that? That'll get rid of it quickly. Hold on to the belief that the opinions of other people are the most important things in your life. Also, always worry about what other people think about you. That's important to do. It's important to manage your reputation by the opinions that others have. And remember, never let go of offenses. Never let go, ever, especially if the offenses are coming from people that you've never met in life. I thought that might get a giggle. And remember, if someone says something online over the internet, take it to heart because it's probably true. Another good way to get rid of a quieted soul is just seek to control people as best you can. Control your kids. Control your parents. And if others continue to try to get out of control, just control harder. You're not controlling hard enough. That'll get rid of the solitude that you have, the serenity. And so always, always as well, this is very important, always follow the news every minute of every day. The news is the most important thing in your life. Didn't you know that? If you want to lose the sense of peace and yet be up to date with what is happening at every branch and level of government in our schools, then constantly worry about it and listen to it. Trust me, this will work. And if you want to get rid of your quieted soul, remember that you are only what you do in life. That's all you are. You're nothing else than what you do. You're also nothing more than the sum of all your possessions, so always seek to possess nice things. Because if you don't, life is meaningless. Thank goodness we don't have to follow that advice. Thank goodness that God is so good to us that we don't have to worry about any of these things I mentioned. That through the power of God and the wonder of an hour in God's presence on Sunday, we can claim the gift of a quieted soul. And so receive this gift this morning. Remember that you are already loved. Live one day at a time. Take moments to be still and to pray. And trust God with your future. Amen.